Welcome back. And as always, I'd like to encourage you guys to check us out. Facebook. And where at, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And the super fun and super elastic, brand new bubble plastic website.
Yes, and it's going to improve as we go.
And it's awesome.
Yep.
Fantastic. Love it. Ava, you've been there. You've seen it.
I've been there. It looks great.
It's awesome. Pretty exciting. Pretty cool. Speaking of pretty cool, I always find, you know, when you're able to have an opportunity that you wouldn't normally have, it's kind of a cool draw. I mean, I think we talked a couple weeks ago, Ava, when Don was off gallivanting somewhere, they had the Buffalo shoot, and there was like 45 openings, and there was like 10,000 people that wanted to go, you know. So follows the same thing, Don.
Okay.
Opportunity to hunt elk in Minnesota. Interested hunters can apply for elk licenses offered this year from the DNR. It runs from late August to mid-October. This year's similar to last year, which provided hunters an opportunity to harvest antlerless elk. Hunters can choose from three license options: a license for bull elk, license for antlerless elk, which can be female or young male, or a license for either a bull or antlerless elk. Kind of cool.
Okay, how many are they doing?
Let's read on.
Okay.
Jumping. Yeah, Ava?
He's so
would
impatient.
You have a word with him?
Yeah, I can. After the show, Don, stick around, would you?
All right.
Wow.
I would have been an awesome teacher.
No, here's the best part. You know what I should say is, Don, were you not listening?
Yeah.
Because I did say.
No, you said how many were there for the bison.
No, there's 30 elk. I said it.
Oh, 30. You know, in the past, there's only been like four.
I know.
Your odds are pretty
slim.
They
have 126 elk in the state's elk range in Kitson, Marshall, and Beltrami counties. And in another herd, there was 24 and 102, respectfully. And in another era, there's also a different group in that they last checked in 2018. So pretty cool deal. Important that hunters review elk season structure on the DNR website prior to entering. It is a lottery, and five licenses are reserved for applicants who have unsuccessfully applied for at least 10 years, and five licenses reserved to meet landowner requirements. So, kind of cool. I like it. Kind of a nice little tidbit. We are always, Don, you and I are pheasant hunters. Ava's a pheasant hunter.
Yep.
A lot of pheasant hunters in and around the Midwest.
Yep.
Numbers coming in from North Dakota are good. Unfortunately, drought is the wild card. Out of Bismarck, North Dakota, wildlife officials say the North Dakota spring pheasant population estimate is up 3%. Not a lot, but nonetheless, it's up. But they are very concerned that the extended drought could cut into prospects this fall. The statewide number might be a bit misleading, since they're notably down in the southwest, while most of the state benefited from good reproduction in 2020 and a mild winter, said the upland game management biologist with the State Game and Fish Department. Pheasant crowing counts are conducted each spring throughout North Dakota. Observers drive a specified 20-mile route, stop at predetermined levels, and count the number of pheasant roosters they heard crowing over a two-minute period. I still think that is the most archaic thing ever.
Yeah,
and the other they said we'd use the mail carriers to do it?
Right. That's what I'm saying, is you could be easily off on your account by 3%. It could be 20% up, for all you know, or the opposite.
The number of roosters detected this spring was up in the northwest, southeast, and northeast regions. The southwest area, which is generally considered the state's main pheasant hunting region, was recorded at 18.4 crows per stop, down from 19.6 in 2020. Drought is causing the delayed growth and nesting cover, brood rearing cover, and croplands across the state, according to the biologist. Extended drought could prevent insect hatches, reducing food to the available chicks. It took the state about 3 years to recover from the last drought in 2017. We're hopeful the latest rains will foster insect production and bolster pheasant and chick foraging.
Hmm. Yep. Dew's so important for moisture for those birds.
Rain in general to get that, yep. Get the grasses
you gotta
back.
Have the, well, you got to have the humidity.
And if you've looked at the grass lately in the general area, it's been kind of a little spooky, to be honest.
Right.
So, tell you what, we're going to be back, take a little break, and we'll have some more fun stuff. We're going to talk about hot weather pike and really what happens and what to look for and how to find them. Be right back. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors, and it's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away four trips that include lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join me, Eric Olson, and Don Cleaver on this fabulous week of fishing this September 2nd through the 9th. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us, plus a walleye seminar or two and contest prizes throughout the week. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio, Ashkenam Resort, Shimano Rods and Reels, Suffolk Fishing Line, and Rapala. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on July 31st on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Don.
Yes.
Our off-air entertainment is as much fun as on.
Yeah, well, we got to make sure we have a clue what we're talking about sometimes.
Yeah, we're pretty good at the rabbit trails.
Right.
You know.
We kind of veer off.
Talk about one thing and then you take a way different direction.
Follow the Olympic Road?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about hot weather pike, right?
Yeah. Yes, we
and
are.
So Don keeping his on made track. The comment, you know, that's the one fish that's got so many nicknames.
And then we spent an extended period of time talking about where names came from. So, Ava?
Well, how nicknames came from.
But well, we're talking names. About fish here. So.
Okay. Yeah. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, that was our rabbit trail. Just
that was not good. That was not good. Anyway, so we talked a little bit about the other day. We talked about I went out, we were pike fishing. And it was just crazy cool, fun, the whole nine yards. We didn't really get into some of the details about kind of different things that you can look for and effective elements that you're looking for. But one of the important elements here was we went out and it was hot. It was a hot day. It'd been hot for a week and we had water that was coming into this area. I was fishing. The temperature had about a degree and a half to 2 degrees difference. Those pike were in and they were everywhere.
Yeah. Based on water temperature.
The next week, we had that front that came in and cooled the water down.
Mm-hmm.
So now, there's no gradient. There was no difference in the water from the lake.
From the stream.
To the stream coming into that area.
Right.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
One fish instead of like 18. Crazy.
Where did they go?
They wandered off to the next break. They wandered out to other cover. They're going to go look for possibly warmer, so they may go shallower, but we can't, at certain points, 2 to 3 feet of water, you're not going to be able to go deeper than that or shallower than that. So the second part that came into play, and we've talked with the guys from Hummingbird for quite some time, the 360 was absolutely the most incredible thing I'd ever encountered in my life.
Really?
You could pinpoint the fish and say the fish is at
11 o'clock.
90 degree, and there's three of them sitting there at exactly 75 feet out. You short cast it. If it's they're close to the boat, you bomb a cast out every time. If you didn't get in the first cast, you definitely get them on the second cast. That was after it warmed back up, had the temperature gradient, and those fish were there. So you could use that to really save you time, but locate and cast to those fish instead of basically fan casting an area.
Right.
And that's the other thing that comes to play. If you don't have that technology, if you have sight imaging, sure, that works. But if you don't have the technology and you're looking at casting maybe a weed area or whatever the case is, anytime you're casting, you need to make sure you mark where you're casting, because so many people just say, oh, I'm going to bomb over here. I'm going to make another cast here. Well, you can only beat the water so much before there's nothing there. Or if you get one, then just move it a hair or you stay right on that same spot. So it holds true. You really need to focus on the spot, why they're there, are there fish still there, and when they are, making sure that you can target them either through using electronics or making sure that you work the area to find where those fish are. Because all too often, people do not pay attention to the detail. Whether it's if you're fishing in that shallow water, you're using a spoon, have somebody else use a swim bait or have somebody else use a spinner bait. Change up the bait to find out what's making them active. And spoons in shallow water is deadly. I will say that hands down. And it's really amazing.
The one thing that I found, you know, and I'm typically fishing in a northern lake or Canada where the water maybe is clearer, you don't have to necessarily drop that lure right on the fish, because a northern pike will come from quite a distance. If they can
feel that,
you know, vibration in the water or see it or flash, and that's a lot of fun when you can see the pike and they're like a missile coming for that. And
I think it's one of those things. It's an important element, and I think really providing a little bit more insight to what the success was important, and it was just a blast. It was really one of those memorable nights when your arm is sore from pulling in fish.
And it's what it was a good problem to have.
Not a joke. It was amazing.
Yeah. No, that's
they tear you up.
And it sounded like you had some pretty good success with some decent sized fish. Like I said, to me, a 32 to 36 inch northern pike fights as hard as any fish in the water.
Oh yeah, we had a couple that were 38, and they're nice photo fish. It looks good. So, all right. So there's a little bit of information that we have for you.
That's good to know on hot weather. You know, during hot weather, you can still catch them.
Got another story that I thought was worth discussing. Together Outdoors Coalition forms to promote recreational growth. Recent history has shown that one has been very clear. People that are getting outside enjoying some form of recreation, whether it means camping, fishing, hunting, biking, or riding ATVs, think of any outdoor activity, and it's a safe bet most people are enjoying it more now than ever. I mean, we'd all seen it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, whether it doesn't matter what the usage is. The Outdoor Recreation Roundtable, they're working to promote the growth of the outdoor recreational economy and outdoor recreation activities, and leading recreation coalition with 33 member associations serving over 110,000 businesses. And a major part of the ORR, Together Outdoors Coalition, is established to support the industries, of course, raising awareness of equity and inclusion, including issues of outdoor experiences, providing education awareness to help eliminate existing barriers. And what it means is they're going to provide training, resources, grants across the entire outdoor spectrum. So it's kind of cool. Get people in the outdoors that have not been. So one of the things that I found interesting is another story. I think we'll save that for next week. But the Minnesota DNR put the names out there of the advisories. There's an agency, a reinvestment plan, and kind of a cool deal. Same concept. They're trying to bring people to the outdoors. And a comment that they had when I was reading the article was that the outdoors participation had been steadily declining in the last 10 years.
Right.
Until the pandemic.
Until COVID, yeah.
Interesting how you tell people they got to be inside and then they're going to rebel and say, nope, I'm not. I'm done. Let's go find something to do because I'm tired of being inside cooped up. So definitely something that's, I would say, needed. We'll see how it pans out. This support is also to help manufacturers, retailers, service providers, stakeholders, and individuals, whether they be CEO or a parts counter employee, to support equity inclusion in all forms of outdoor recreation. And after all, the great outdoors belongs to everybody. And the ORR, they have partnered with Thor Industries, one of the largest manufacturers of recreational vehicles. So you've seen a boon in the RV world right now that's literally off the charts, and something that I find It's not really necessarily, it's not camping. It's kind of a glamping.
Oh, sure.
Would that be right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Glamorous camping,
right.
Glamping.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's getting somebody involved at that point, an ATV, a boat, truck camping, whatever it might be, I think being able to lever that, I think, is a big step in the right direction. I think understanding the right ways to use the outdoors, I think, is also important. And these guys are also supporting growth within the archery side. So getting people involved in bow hunting, which is great. I think it's an awesome silent sport and very challenging, without question. But it can be done all year long since you're going to be shooting and practicing and honing your skills. So I think that's a big thing. And one of the things they said about the bow hunting, and it connects people to the outdoors and their table in a very personal and intimate way. And he said of the Archery Trade Association, the CEO, anyone should be able to experience a profound opportunity without limitation, recognize, support, and are committed to the work as necessary to ensure everyone feels welcome and safe, whether entering the woods or a shop. So kind of a cool concept. I think we'll want to watch what direction that takes,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes it can get skewed. We don't want to have that happen. But
no.
We'll keep our eye on the pulse of what's happening there, and I think we're gonna table the conversation about the Minnesota DNR. They got an advisory council that on reinvesting in Minnesota. Just a real quick hit for us before we break out of here. Wisconsin turkey harvest the hunt hits over a 20-year low. They recently revealed data that said that they saw the lowest harvest in two decades for the most recent turkey hunting season. According to some officials, they believe it's known to the lockdown orders in the state being lifted, which gave more people options with how to spend their time. So they weren't focused on turkey hunting. They're like, I want to do something else as well. And last spring, we were at the height of the safer at home order. Many more people were available to hunt, and there wasn't much else to do from the previous year. So this year it was low compared to the 2020. And so we'll keep our eye on that one as well, because obviously the hunting side of it, you want to see decrease in take. You want to see start increases, small increases. So, well, thank you guys for joining us. And we are going to have a good show next week. We're going to have the Red Wing State Champion Trap Club. They'll be here, Trap Team, and it'll be fun. So more of Ally Outdoors next week. See ya.